time for another edition of the Home Improvement Show. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your most pressing home renovation questions. Did you start a project and you're kind of lost in the middle? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to get the permits? Who to trust, who not to trust? Walter Assey is here. Hi, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Walter, a little birdie told me that it was your birthday this week.
I know.
So happy birthday.
You've been hearing those rumors, eh?
So you turned 16. How did that go?
Yeah, I wish. You know what? It's amazing to spend my birthday with the great listeners.
Look at that. We do love our listeners. We're going to get to your questions. 514-790-0800. You can text us, but the best way is always to call us, of course. Especially if you've got a really, really big question for Walter. We're going to get to a text message question in just a few seconds, but I do want to get your take on this because the big story this week in construction, if you will, is the hôpital, the hospital Maisonneuve Rosemont, which is falling apart, right? For weeks, they were saying, you know, there's holes in the walls, there's rats running around. And then we had that windstorm. The windows had not been replaced in some areas since the 1950s. So one of the windows shattered and actually hurt a nurse. The power went out. The generators went out during surgeries. They had to cancel surgeries. And then the government is saying, you know, we're on it. We're gonna try to rebuild this hospital, but we have to build the parking lot before we can build the hospital so people have a place to park, even though the hospital is not operational. When you hear stories like this, of this like crumbling infrastructure in a hospital, I'm just very curious from your perspective, is there a point, I know we can't close a hospital because we don't have enough hospitals, but is there a point for you where you think it's too far gone? Like there's, if there are holes in the wall, the windows are falling apart, the generators are not working. How much, first of all, in your head is that, how do you even tackle a project like this?
I mean, in Quebec, there's nothing as far gone. I mean, we see our roads, mm-hmm. they're far gone sometimes, but we still use them. There is something in the system that is broken for sure. Mm. I've been involved in certain contracts on different levels. Some of them were consultation level, and there's a lot of bad decision making that doesn't make sense. There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of things that, you know, there have to be a lot of corrections in what's going on.
Can you patchwork a hospital like that?
I mean, you can if you do a proper master plan. Mm. It's like any structure. It can be renovated, and especially when it comes to budget cuts. The problem with budget cuts is they cut a budget, but there's no logic in where they're cutting, right? Mm. So, like, I mean, look, I've done work in a hospital, I'm not going to name it once, and I cleaned up one of the things we got to was the ventilation system, and we opened the vent, and I don't want to tell you what went down from that vent.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were in an operating room.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and, you know, the reason they were given were budget cuts, but, like, you know, if I'm the guy was looking at this, there are certain logics where I say, okay, this I'm not going to cut here, maybe I'll cut there, you know? And that is a problem. There have to be someone that sees the bigger picture and try to really put logic in these jobs. There's a lot of money to be saved as well. There's a lot of money that's being wasted on useless things that are done in these structures. So it is worrisome, and I hope, you know, whatever new plans we have, there's going to be some common sense.
It's not looking good for that hospital. And they were just as a side note, they were asking people, you know, given all the problems and construction, everything that's happening there, that's falling apart, do they feel safe getting operated there? I mean,
yeah,
you can guess the answer.
But unfortunately, this is not just there.
No.
This is what we know about because it made the media, but it's...
Yeah.
There's a copy paste scenario.
It's a big one. 514-790-0800. Start calling us. Let us know what you would like to ask Walter Assey. We do have a text message that came in for you, Walter. It said, "Hello, I would like to buy some shingles and store them at my home for a project to start in 1 year or two. Is either outdoor cold storage under a tarp or summer weather cause any issues for the material? In particular, will summer hot weather cause the tar strips to activate, causing premature sticking issues between the shingles?" That's from mm-hmm. Dominic. I think Dominic wants to know how and where to store these shingles that he bought Or way earlier than the project, I guess, 1 or 2 years.
Yeah. So I mean, his points is right about direct contact with heat and sunlight, because yes, it you know, the way the shingles glue properly is with the sun rays. So you if you cover it and you put it in a place that is in a shady place, it, on the outside there's going to be no issues. You just don't want it to be under direct sunlight. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much
so. Just the tarp, not the tarp.
Yes, well, the tarp is fine. Yeah, the tarp, and if you have a shaded area in his in the exterior that he could put it, is even better.
514-7 I know 0800. We would like to hear from you. We're taking calls. That's the best way to reach Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Again, if you're watching us from a different part of the country or in a different city, there is the Ask Walter button on the website. Walter, what is the, remind everyone the website?
Renovco.com.
Renovco.com. Another question here. Hello to the two of you. I have to replace my hot water heater. I'm presently with Hydro Solution. Do you recommend renting or buying? I hear plumbers can't be bothered to come and install water heaters.
That is not true.
Okay.
Plumbers can be. It's part of their work. And you can do it. You know, the preference depends on your cash flow. Hydro Solutions, if you're there long term, I mean, you're paying them too much money for the price of the tank. Usually, to buy your own tank, the installation plumbers will charge about $600, just to kind of give $500 to $600 to give a labor price to that. And then, you know, as far as hot water tanks, it's really sky is the limit. You can start at $600 per tank and goes up to $3,000. Now, here's the weird thing with the hot water tank issues. They're all guaranteed only for 10 years simply because insurance companies, regardless of the quality of the tank, they want it changed every 10 years. So it is a problem. But you know, it becomes a question of a preference for you. Like, I don't have a problem with one or the other. If you have the money lying around, just, you know, get it done. Just make sure when you call the plumber, it's a local area plumber. That's where you might find it easier to get the plumber faster to do it.
Okay, we're seeing these calls starting to come in. 514-790-0800. There's a question here. Hold on a second. Why store the shingles? Well, because he bought them earlier. Okay. So the Hydro Solutions, repeat again. Sorry, because the phone, we're having a little bit of an issue with the phone.
Well, I mean, I see the phones here.
I see the
phones. We have a full switchboard.
We do have a full switchboard. I'm having a bit of an issue. Jim, were we taking care of it? Jimmy's nodding. Keep those calls coming in. 514-7, I know, 0800. Repeat what you were saying about the Hydro Solutions, because I don't understand the part that says I'm having a hard time. I hear plumbers can't be bothered.
No, I mean, look. That's not accurate. I mean, you can even call a plumber to change a cartridge on a faucet. So you probably run into busy plumbers, but I mean, it gets done. It's only plumbers that really change hot water tank. As a matter of fact, Hydro Solutions have to hire a plumber to get that job done. So it wouldn't make sense. So yeah, it is any plumber. Just make sure that you're calling plumbers in your area. It's going to be a lot easier to get them there.
And also, I am going to ask you a big question, but it's going to take too long to answer. In terms of trusting the plumbers, we've all had a scary plumber experience. You have a list of people that you trust yourself?
Well, a little, you know, I'm working on a little project that is not ready to be yet.
We're going to keep that under wraps.
It's coming. It's coming.
But it is heading our way. Okay, I'm getting this phone call, the phone being fixed. 514-790-0800. I apologize to those of you who have been waiting. The problem was on my computer, but I can see those phone calls coming in. We will get to your phone calls in just a teeny tiny minute or two. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. 514-790-0800. Again, a big sorry to all of you who've been waiting on the phone lines. It is my fault. It's not Walter's fault. It's not Jimmy's fault. My computer isn't working on my side, so I couldn't see that you were all calling and waiting to chat.
Juan.
I unplugged the computer on purpose. So without further ado, let's get to our many, many callers. Mary's on the line. Mary, hi. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right. Take it away.
I'm really looking into putting an extension at my house, in the back of my house. And I wanted to know, what are the steps that I need to take before I even call a contractor? And follow-up question, how much would I, like, per square footage, could I, like, quickly estimate how much the extension would cost?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first thing you want to do is determine the size of your extension.
Okay.
That's the first thing. The second thing is you have to go and meet the city to see if you are allowed per the bylaws. Every city have a percentage of, you know, of building that you're allowed to cover based on the size of the lot. So, you know, some municipalities is 20%, 30%, it can go up to 50% in some municipalities as well. So they will tell you, okay, you have the right to build up another 1,000 square feet. So you know that the extension can go up to 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
If you don't, and, you know, the other issue that you might face, depending on the size of your lot, is also how close you are to your neighbors, because, you know, when your house was built, it could have been built in a time where, you know, the distance between you and your neighbor was something, and then the bylaws changed. So they might ask you, you know, to reassess the extension or make it smaller or narrower. So that's where you have to be careful. Meeting with the city is very helpful because you can also guide your architect or your technologue, whoever can be doing the plans, on what they said, and you don't have to delay the process, because every time you make a mistake on the plan, it goes to the CCU. They meet once a month. So every time there's a mistake that you have to correct, you are losing another month. And already it's going to take you a couple of months to get them to look at your plans and, you know, and review them. So you should start working with the plans based on what the city tells you. The second thing is you don't have a carte blanche in everything that you are planning. Some people think, okay, well, I'm building an extension. It's in the back. I don't need it. My house is in stone. I don't need it to make it in stone. I'll do it in siding. It's cheaper. No. If your house is made in stone, most municipalities are going to force you to make your extension in the same type of cladding that you have on the outside. So that also might be a big deciding factor. Now, as far as the cost, it's all going to boil down to the type of foundation. Okay, are you going to go with full foundation? Are you going to go with a Technopew foundation, sonotube foundation, the size of the structure? Okay, the other thing that's going to also be an issue is what are we putting in this extension? Are we putting plumbing? Are we extending the kitchen? And there's going to be, you know, some plumbing, some drainage to add, or a bathroom or anything of that nature. That also would affect the price. To give you a general idea, it is anywhere between $400 to $800 a square foot, depending on finishings and everything else. So that gives you a good guideline if you wish to follow.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for that call.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Glenn has been waiting patiently on the line, and Glenn has some drops of water in your tub. Glenn, what's going on? Oh, we lost Glenn. We did lose Glenn. Thank you for that, Jimmy. We have Mike on the line. Is Mike still there?
Still there.
Yes. Hi, Mike. Take it away.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. My question is for Walter. I'm building a house. I live in Montreal, but I have a land in Newfoundland. I'm building a house to their code, but the plans were made here in Quebec. Now, here in Quebec, I'm talking about the exterior walls. They call for a 2x6 with an aspenite and a styrofoam on the inside, and then a Tyvek and a strapping. And on the inside, it's a vapor barrier with a strapping. Now, in Newfoundland, they don't put strapping on the inside. They put the drip rack right on the 2x6, and they don't put the strapping on the outside. So if I follow their code, would you recommend I follow my architect's plan by putting the strapping inside and outside?
The strapping on the outside is because you have some type of a siding, am I correct?
The vinyl siding, yes.
Yeah, so it will be a big mistake if you don't put the strapping on the outside.
Okay.
I don't know how Newfoundland, the building code, and I don't understand how they would not ask for that. Because the strapping is actually a pathway for the water to drip in case you have any water infiltration. So it's actually a very good thing to have. Okay?
Yeah.
So I would definitely tell you, you know, there's no question and no doubt That will be the best thing you can ever do for your structure. That's number one. Number two, the strapping on the inside. I mean, there's no, like, from the inside perspective, the strapping would help in the drywall installation to, because your 2x6s are never too straight. So a strapping is a way to kind of level it off, if you wish. That will be one. Number two would be for to fish any wires. It will be helpful for the electrician. So there is actually a good thing that comes out of it. It's not just they want you to spend more money and that's the code. So I would consider as well the strapping on the inside. But if you are building this in Quebec, you definitely have to go with Quebec standards.
That's right. So I told my contractor, I already hired the contractor, and I told him, no, I want strapping on the outside because I think it has to do with the water flow. So thanks for that. And I said I'd like to strap it on the inside because I figure putting Gyprock directly on a 2x6 instead of top straight. So I'm going with my architect's code. My last question is...
Well, let me just tell you one thing that is important about that, and you're absolutely right. So it is worrisome that your contractor is not following the architect's plan. That's very worrisome, okay? And I'll tell you why. There is a hierarchy of authority when it comes to who does what and who has the ultimate authority. The person with the plans is usually the ultimate authority on the site. So if it's a structural plan, it's the structural engineer that is the most important in this whole process. If it's an architect, the same thing applies. Why? In case something happens, you want to know who to go after. So if it's a structural engineer mistake, and the contractor followed it to the tooth, the contractor is not responsible. But when the contractor starts doing things on his own and changing things around, that is also putting you in a tough spot in case something wrong happens. So you should tell your contractor, whoever he is, to follow every little detail that the architect did, and you don't want to get in trouble with the city. If an inspector comes and he sees that you change the type of insulation or the type of cladding or even the colors, or, you know, they can actually stop the job and ask you to correct it.
Okay. Well, you answered all my questions. I told them anyways, no, we're going with the strap down the inside and the outside. That's what I told them. But I just wanted to have it clearer to give them a better reason why the strap is required.
Yeah, you don't need to. I mean, he's a contractor. He's supposed to know that. So that's...
In Newfoundland, they say they don't do it. It's not to their code.
Well, who cares about Newfoundland? I mean, but again, there's no logic of not doing it, right? I mean, there's...
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Mike.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. 514-790-0800. Glenn's back on the line. We'll get to him in a second because I'm sure Glenn has lots to talk about. We're going to take a teeny tiny break. But before we do, quick question from the text line. Hello, we would like to add a heat pump to our electric furnace. Is there government grants available for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Hydro-Quebec, I believe, have a few grants available. Usually the ventilation company, that when you call them, you tell them what you want to do, they will tell you what your savings are for the subvention.
Okay, so you just go to the website, fill out the...
Well, I mean, they will actually do all of that for you.
Oh, okay, perfect, fantastic. Okay, 514-790-0800, don't go anywhere. We're taking a teeny, teeny, tiny break. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to The Home Improvement Show. I want to thank each and every one of you for waiting on the line. Again, it was my fault. I could not see the calls coming in. So let's get to these calls, 514-790-0800. Tasso has been waiting very patiently on the line. Tasso, I'm sorry. And also,
okay. Good morning, everybody, and
Hi.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
Walter.
Thank you. Thank
to
you,
the
Tasso.
Birthday boy. I know nobody wished you a happy birthday, but I did.
Thank you.
I did too. Happy birthday.
I you did also. Yes.
But you also made you wait. So,
I did. It's my fault.
All right, my question is about, I have a flat roof of tar and quarter-inch gravel.
Okay.
Every year I go upstairs at least twice a year and I make an inspection. The way I inspect it, I walk on it to see if there are any bubbles or anything like that, which was okay. My question is to ask you, I've seen this before. I get like little, how would I describe it? Mushrooms coming out of the gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, little things. I was touching them yesterday when I was on the roof. They're like solid. They're very hard. Is this normal for a tar roof to to get those little, like little mushrooms coming out.
Is that moisture?
You mean tar mushrooms, right?
Yeah.
Tar. So the biggest issue for the roof, I mean, just to make it simple for you, when you have a tar and gravel roof, your biggest enemy is your sun. It's the sun. So that's why we put gravel on top of the tar. Now, with time, you know, the gravel flies around and moves around, and you know, you have areas more exposed than others. So what you might end up needing to do to elongate the price, the age of the roof, is either add more gravel or redistribute the gravel evenly everywhere. Any area where it's going to have this very light coat of a layer of gravel on top, because things have moved and shifted around, it's going to be prone to problems, and eventually it will leak. Okay, so if you have those bubbles, usually it's in areas that have been subjected to more sun rays than the other areas. If you don't want this to get worse, what you want to make sure of is that you have enough gravel on top. And let's be honest, even when most of roofers finish the tar and gravel work, when we do the inspection, more often than not, we notice that they don't put enough gravel. So, you know, you have to be very mindful of that.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Okay, these are all bubbles. It's like little stems sticking out. Like I saw maybe a few of them, and I was wondering, I've seen them before. Now, to say something about the gravel, over the years, yeah, every time I see an area that is exposed, I always add some quarter inch gravel, so that's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know. I didn't take a picture to.
I mean, these things in the installation, sometimes it does happen. So I'm not so much worried about them as much as I worry about cracks and if you want big, not bubbles, but I mean big bumps. That will appear. Those little bubbles are not as worrisome for me. It's more the cracks and, if you want, the deformation in the tar itself. Because don't forget, I mean, the tar is how many plies you also put, right? Have you put 3-ply, 4-ply, 5-ply? That also, that's also a distinguishing factor on how solid your roof is. So if you're seeing it at the last coat, sorry, Tasso, if you see it at the last coat, it's typically superficial because there's other plies underneath.
Yeah, the company did a phenomenal job because the roof is it's 20 years old and no leaks, no nothing, okay. 000, no bubbles on the roof when you walk on it slowly. Well, okay, I was concerned about those things that are sticking out.
No, they don't confirm. If it is what I think it is, it's not concerning to me either.
Tasso, thank you so much
thank
for your call.
Thank you. Good day. All right.
Glenn. Poor Glenn. We lost Glenn. We have Glenn. He's back. Hi, Glenn. Can you hear us?
Good morning. I can hear you.
All right. Take it away.
I have a bathtub faucet that's on the rim of the bathtub. It has a drop of water that forms every 5 minutes, and I've changed the two cartridges. I don't know what else to do.
You change the cartridges, wow. And still leaks.
Every 5 minutes, one drop. Okay. Could I still have a faulty cartridge, or I installed it wrong?
Maybe you did install it wrong, because, I mean, that should technically do the trick. So do you mind taking it out and trying to put it back again? If that doesn't work, it might also be another faulty cartridge, but that's really rare.
Okay.
There's no other secret sauce to this.
Okay. I'll try that.
Okay.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, Glenn. That was short and sweet. Who you have the computer working on your side. Who's been waiting long?
Now it's Sonia.
Sonia, can we get Sonia on the line? Jim, we have her?
Yes, you have me.
Hi, Sonia. Sorry for the wait. My fault.
Oh, that's okay.
Take it away.
There's a cat in the house, in the office. Right. However, my question, well, I live on a farm. And it's a well water.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very fine black in particles in when I make ice, I can see it on my white. There's a lot of particles, and they're black. And I'm concerned that maybe the well is rotting away. I don't know. And is it dangerous for my health? But I mean, I can see it. But it's finer than grains of sand, if you will. And it's black.
Okay. So a couple of things. Do you have a softener or a filtration system in your home?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. That's fine. The other thing that you could do is, you know, you call companies like Culligan. They do install water softeners and purification systems, but you ask them to do a water test, or you could take the water yourself
and have it tested. Yeah.
Then you would know what these particles are. I mean, the fact that you don't have a filtration system, the fact that you don't have a softening system, you know, usually water, certain wells, the water is harsher, so you could have some type of residue in the water itself.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then it is smelly.
Yeah.
It's smelly. It's farm country. So.
Okay. So let's try one other thing, Sonia.
Okay.
I'm just going to pivot a little bit. Did you check? Is it when you have the hot water on or the cold water when you see those little particles?
I would say it's more on the hot side.
Okay. So you might not have a problem with the well. That's actually good news for you.
Oh, thank you.
You might have a problem, and I'm like, would say 90% certitude that the problem is from your hot water tank.
Well, it's brand new.
That's even worse.
Oh, you have any good news for me?
No. But this is still good news. No. Wait a second.
Okay.
So it's because, again, we're going to go back to the well issue. The fact that you said it smells is starting to give it away. And that's a good news for you because you don't want to have, I hope it's not the well itself that you're hitting mud and because
this is it.
Because
I am right by a river.
Yeah, that's a big job, and I would if you are next to a body of water, chances are you're not running out of water in the well. So that's good news for you, and you want it to stay that way. The thing that might be an issue would be the sacrificial rod in your hot water tank. When you have a water well, because I said that the water is very harsh. Usually that rots away the sacrificial rod, and then you have that smell that comes out. It's like an egg smell, right?
Yes, sulfury.
That's exactly it. So All what you do in this case is get your plumber to simply come and remove and dispose of the sacrificial rod. You can have it replaced by another type of rod that is aluminum that does not rust, if you wish. So what you might be seeing is that residue that's coming out of the sacrificial rod, specifically in your case, because you don't have a water softener and you don't have a filtration system.
Got it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hopefully that helps you out. 514-790-0800. I can see the calls coming in. Keep them coming in. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renofco, all of your home improvement questions. Walter Assey, the birthday boy, by the way, if you missed it, happy birthday to Walter again. Joe has been waiting very patiently on the line, and Joe has a water coming in through the cement. Joe, thank you, first of all, for waiting, and take it away.
Hi, I have cement. It seems to be coming up from the cement. We had the basement gutted completely, so it was not coming from the walls. I know now it's coming from the cement. The chap that was in last year mentioned efflorescence. Perhaps the cement is wicking up the water from underneath the house. Is there any solution to that?
Absolutely.
It's only in one area in the corner of the house.
Yeah. So you meant, just to clarify for the callers, you meant there was water coming out from the cement.
Yes, it's enough.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe it's okay. Maybe 2 quarts a year. I mean, and it's only at this time of year.
Okay. What area do you live in, Joe?
It would be in the corner of the house in the bathroom.
No, no. What area do you live in? Do you live next?
Oh, Cornwall, Ontario.
In Cornwall, okay. All right. And do you have a sump pump in the basement?
No.
Okay. So 99% that is your problem. I'm just going to explain you how that works. You have a French drain around your home?
Right.
Do you know if you, what year construction is your home?
I don't understand the question.
How old is the home? What year was it?
I was built in 59, 60 okay. maybe.
So here's what happens. You probably had originally terracotta French drain around the home.
Right.
The problem with that type of material is that with time it actually decomposes and gets crushed. So what's happening now is you probably have a non-operational French drain. That's to begin with. It happens a lot in the spring year issue. Why? Because the water around the snow around the house starts to melt. We have a lot of rainfall in April, and starts when the ground is still frozen most often than not. So what happens is, because you don't have a sump pump, the water is building up under around the home and under the slab. And then it's going to find its way through any weakness in the slab itself. So any small cracks, any openings, the water is going to seep through. The way you want to solve that, and I mean, because I could tell you, a lot of maybe other contractors would say, well, do the French drain and do this and do that. I'm not going to go that far. What you do first is you install a sump pump. And okay. What that does is going to help release that pressure of the water that's building up underneath the slab. You pump that water out. You regrade your land that as much of the water is sloping away from the land. And then you see if that works. More often than not, that will be a solution that will work without you having to dig out all around the house and spend tens and tens of thousands of dollars to solve it.
Not at my age.
All right, Joe. Thank you so much for that call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay.
I'm guessing that smile because he was happy with the solution.
He's smiling because it's your birthday, Walter. That's what we're thinking. Okay. Brenda's on the line. Brenda, can you hear us? Brenda. Hello,
oh,
Brenda.
Yes.
Hi, take it away.
First of all, I live in a bungalow, and I have never had any water in my basement. I had an above-ground pool, and that was taken down. And where the pool was the ground was higher. So my ground is sloping towards my house. I know that everyone says that should not be like that. I've had a few people come in to give me quotes, and some are recommending sort of leveling it out and putting my basement windows are very low, so putting additional borders around those window wells. But one person came and he said, oh, it's impossible. The ground is too much higher. You cannot take all that ground away. We would put in a drain, almost like a sump pump around your house with holes. So everything would be connected to it, including your rain spout, and it would go out to the street. This is the first thing I've heard of that. As I say, we've never had any water issues, but I know the slope is supposed to go away from the house, but it's not doing that now.
Okay. So let me give you what the standard solution is without having to go too sophisticated like the other gentleman is suggesting. So the good news for you, there's no secret sauce to this. There's no magic bullet. What you need is to see visually that the land is sloping away from your house. Okay? That's what you want.
Yes.
As far as you can, your gutter spouts have to be at least 6 feet, so they have to be draining 6 feet away from the home. If that is not possible, then I would agree with the gentleman that's telling you to do underground drains and maybe possibly dry pits and so on and so forth. But if that is possible for you to have those gutter extensions, and you are going to be very, if you want, very dedicated to look after it, make sure that they're installed in the spring, and you know, and take them away in the winter, and all of these things. As soon as, if you are doing all of that, you don't need to go with that crazy, you know, drainage around the house, sump pumps, and everything else. If you feel that that's not a possibility, then I would maybe consider what he's saying. But I would not definitely start with that. It's a much more expensive scenario for you.
Thank you very much, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Thank you to everyone who called in for this edition of the Home Improvement Show. If we didn't get your call, this is mostly
it's
my
Joanne's
fault.
Joanne's fault. Just understand that.
I'm falling on that sword.
I don't press any of these buttons.
My computer was dead. thank you to Walter. By the way, if you missed your chance to ask Walter, you can ask Walter on his website, by the way, on the Renovco website. And a big happy birthday to you again,
thank
Walter.
You.
Listen,
thank
you're look. This is, you're given 21 a good look. That's what we're going to say. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Home Improvement Show. That does it for us. Have a great one.